And you can be too by becoming a subscriber right now at tourcr.com.
My city of Sydney, I miss the warmth of you. Miss the heart of your people, that little church steeple in Woolloomooloo.
Sounds of 1979, Halcyon Golden Days in Sydney, and the XL Capris, the name of that band, My City of Sydney, the name of the tune, the glorious golden sounds of the late 70s, early 80s in Sydney, and I guess that's where we're going, my friends. This may be a very old, familiar voice, or it may be a voice you're hearing for the very first time, but gee whiz, it is so good to be home. 107.3, 2SER is where you find yourself, Heartland Radio, Community Radio. So great to be back on the wireless. Tracy Hutchison here with you. I can't believe I'm saying that here on 2SER. Here for Radiothon, we are family, and I'm so pleased to have the Rockin' Doctor Liz Giffray with me.
Hello, hello. I might be the doctor, but you are Professor. It's so wonderful to welcome you home, Tracy Lee, as she was. So wonderful to welcome you home. Thank you for coming, travelling actually up on an aeroplane today, just to be with us here.
Incredible.
Today. We are so lucky to have you. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, it's nice to be asked. It's nice still to be visible, you know.
Well, audible. Can I just let you know, dear listeners,
visible and audio.
As you're preparing, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a radio secret. If you want to know really how to do things properly, you need to apply one's lipstick before you go on air.
Oh.
I'm learning the tricks. Learning all the tricks.
Yeah.
My four-year-old at home is loving knowing that lipstick has to happen on the radio.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, lipstick makes everything better. 2SER is where you are. It's Heartland Radio. It's Radiothon 2022. We are family. And I'd really love to be able to read out some familiar names on 95149500 is the number. Veronica is rounding up our phone vault. She's there with Felix and a bunch of others as well. And I really need to do an incredible shout out to Beth Tracy for that incredible drive show. Totally blew my mind. And You know, I love community radio. It's 39 years this year that I passed my demo tape to go on air at 2SER as a much younger woman. I started very young.
We had a child program. It was part of the kindergarten of the year. It was beautiful. It was lovely.
It was the independent music show with Simon Drew, and we were broadcasting from the 26th floor of the Tower Block here at UTS, and it is fantastic. You know, the reason that I love community radio so much, and I've stayed involved for four decades, is because of people like Beth Tracy, who can just knock it out of the park with a fantastic drive show, have such an incredible rapport with audience, kind of reading tarot and doing all kinds of crazy shit. And it's like, yes, I dig this. This is my place. You know, this is home. This is my happy place.
It's wonderful. And if you would like to help build the house, keep the lights on in the house, if you would like to continue to keep us doing the things that we continue to do, please subscribe. Consider subscribing to us or donating anything, big, small, we'll take it all. Tracy already mentioned that you can get in touch with us on the phones, 9514 9500. If you're the type of person for whom speaking on the phone is a little bit too much, please hit us on the interwebs. We are www.2ser, that's the number 2ser.com. And if you want to know what you can get for us, we've got lots of different subscription tiers. You can start as a concession.
Super sub.
A super sub. Well, a super sub sounds a little bit, it's making me hungry, but maybe that's me telling me a little bit too much.
Very
about
generous,
myself.
Super sub.
Super subs are $300. Yeah. If you're going to be a super sub, you do a whole lot of wonderful things for us for $300. You can be passionate at $160. You can be standard at $80. That's still pretty good. Or if you're a concession, $40, we'll take that too. There's a whole bunch of wonderful prizes you can also win as part of subscription, a radiothon right now. You can win a Southern Cross mountain motorbike. Mountain, not a motorbike, just a bike, not a motorbike.
There's lots of stuff. And we can talk more about that over the next couple of hours. I reckon we might just rename your $80 level as your proud subscriber. Sure. So you got your passionate at $160, you got your proud subscriber at $80, you've got your concession, questions asked.
Should we call them emerging?
$40. An emerging subscriber. And thank you for the reminder that we are broadcasting, proudly broadcasting on the land of the Gadigal people of the mighty Eora Nation, and pay our unwavering respect and regard to elders past, present and emerging. This land was never ceded. It always was and always will be First Nations land. It is great to have your company. And I think the thing that really, you know, I've done a lot of radiothons over the years in a number of different radio stations, and I haven't done a radiothon at 2SER since 1986. So I was broadcasting here from 1983 to 1986. Very formative time for Australian media, for community radio. It was very much an emerging platform at that time. It sort of the first licenses had been issued in the 70s, mid-70s, and SER was sort of part of that first wave of stations to get licenses, with people like John Martin kind of, you know, being very trailblazing in getting SER's license, and the partnership with UTS and Macquarie University at Sydney Educational Radio, which is what the SER stands for. But it was really part of an incredible explosion of independent media, of places where, you know, you could play what you like, you could say pretty much what you like, abiding to all the kind of broadcasting regs and the various other things, and defamation law and other things like that. But you know, it certainly was this incredible, you know, real explosion of independence, of editorial independence, a place where people literally could walk in like I did. I was a student at SER, walk in and find my people. And I found an incredible cohort of people at that time, some of whom we'll talk to throughout the hour, Liz, but just an incredible group of people. And I really feel that I'm sort of standing on the shoulders of giants, sitting here representing a mighty cohort of people at that time.
It's so wonderful. And did you want to tell us to a little bit about the song that you opened the show with, because when we first talked about inviting you in, there was, we must play this song. So could you give us some context to that song too?
Yeah, well, you know, the XL Capris, Joanna Pickett out front, and I think her stage name for the drummer was Nancy Serapax. I can't, my memory, you've got my book in front of you, you probably find it in there, but, you know, it was an era where, taking your place and being seen on stage, being heard on air, being represented in the media, was something that, women really just did. You know, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. We actually just got on and did it. And it's only really in retrospect that when I think about that time, the number of people, number of women on air, women identifying on air, you know, in a minute we're going to be joined by Margaret Cott, who was the editor and publisher of On the Street and then Drum Magazine, just a trailblazing woman. And, you know, gave me my first start in the street press as well, an independent press. I guess the reason I wanted to play the XL Capris, one, it's an homage to Sydney, and I'm in Sydney, and a huge part of my heart will always be in Sydney. It was where my career started, and I, you know, live in Melbourne now, but that's been home and where I grew up. But, you know, Sydney really was the place where I commenced my career. And so that song was just such a proud, you know, Tony Bennett originally recorded it, and I just loved the kind of maverick, wild version of the XLs, who, you know, really were representative of that time, that, you know, people were getting up, playing music, not worrying about, you know, was there space for me as a woman, or you know, should I be doing this? You know, people just did it. And I think, you know, I really reflect on it and I think that was 40 years ago and we're still having conversations about women in music, women in media, women, you know, being underrepresented all over the place. And I think, what the hell happened? You know, how are we still having the same conversation when then we were just really just doing it? So, you know, I guess as an homage to that time, and an homage to, you know, all the women, you know, like, I mean, they're just incredible bands in Sydney. This was a time that, you know, and I don't want to be banging on about, the good old days, because nothing's worse than that. But I do think, you know, there is a tendency, I think, to think that your formative years were extraordinary when you're coming of age. But when you could basically walk the Golden Mile up Favreau Street from the Strawberry Hills Hotel via the Trade Union Club to the Hopetoun and see maybe, you know, 10, 15 bands a night, 7 nights a week, and that was just standard. That's what we were doing. And community radio, 2SER, and the other community stations, Skid Row, the maverick Sydney-based Jays at that time, much more maverick than now, but was the heartland of the music community. And, you know, you could read who was playing in the street press. You could hear it on the radio here at 2SER in programs like the one I was presenting with Simon Drew, or Local and or General presented by Leah Haynes, the mighty Leah Haynes. And then you could go and see him that night along with, you know, 10, 20 other bands, literally, you know, playing in a night sometimes. And that was pretty special. I mean, it really was, by any standards, pretty special.
Absolutely. And if we just, you know, Bet's also snuck in here, which is lovely to have her, if we just kind of gently weep with envy, that's not a bad thing. And it's important to realise too, I moonlight as a historian, even though that's not really my training. But I think the importance of talking about where we are and talking about where we've come from is also, if we can't see it, we can't be it. You know, so you talk about that wonderful kind of, that's my mum calling. Mum, call me later. I'm on the radio, or subscribe, will you please? Oh my goodness, isn't that terrible? But if we can't see it, we can't be it. And so remembering the sound of those women singing, the sound of you talking, just get in and do it. Be fearless. Be doing it. And I think that's the inspiration here, and that's what's really, really great. And that's why we need to keep places like 2SER, we need to keep the lights on, we need to keep the next generation, the current generation, the older generation. We're family here. Yeah. Let's get all the generations in together. Let's give us all a home, and let's give us a way to connect with our city of Sydney. How beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a perfect way to start, really. And you know, sometimes when I hear that, you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. You know, it's like, yeah, but we've always been there. you know, what's wrong with you? Are you blind? Like, or you just don't want to see it? Or is there kind of this, the unconscious bias of not seeing, you know, incredible Julie Mostyn out front of the Flaming Hands, you know, the scholars, the fast cars, you know, incredible artists, you know, around in the early 80s, a lot of women, Angie Pepper, you know, so many women. And they really were sort of laying the foundation for an explosive time and a kind of a time that was really a foundation time for a lot of artists as well. And SER was hugely part of that. I really want to thank our first subscriber. I really want to thank Danielle in Camperdown. Thank you so much for phoning through and being proud and passionate and subscribing to the station. 9514950 is the number to subscribe. I'd love to hear from some of my old Sydney mates who may be listening and tip into the kitty here at 2SER. I am going to play a couple of tracks and then we're going to move on. We've got a couple of people we're going to speak to tonight, and that's pretty exciting. But I was talking about just, you know, why I wanted to play the XL Capris with Joe Pickett out front and a female drummer in that band as well. And just the number of women who were playing, both sort of in lead vocal roles, but, you know, playing bass, playing drums, playing guitar. And I've got a very visceral memory of hearing the first whispers of a band called the Falling Joys that had sort of come out of Canberra, and everyone was going, oh, this is a band. They're from Canberra, you know, and they're amazing. This incredible first single, and Waterfront put out the first single, and everyone, oh, they're incredible. They're coming to Sydney. Front lead singer, she's amazing, Susie Hickey, playing guitar. And I thought we'd better have a listen to it. And I've got to kind of reach over here.
Friends, as Tracy reaches over to dust off the turntable, here we go.
Authentic crackle from a 7-inch vinyl. On SER, this is Burnt So Low, The Falling Joys. Woo!
But it's just an afterglow. In between, everything's burnt so low. I could throw caution to the wind.
of each day. I open my eyes one after the other, and then I say nothing.
So much crackling goodness. You don't get that on the interweb, I tell you. You get that off 7-inch vinyl. That is the original and the very best. The Lighthouse Keepers, Ode to Nothing, the name of it, on the Hot Record label. And before that, we heard the glorious sounds of the Falling Joys and their tune Burnt So Low. And that one came courtesy of their own label, I think. I think they released that one on their own little label. And, oh, do you know what? I've just opened. So this is the original 7-inch vinyl. And, you know, this is how sweet and kind of immediate kind of community radio was in those days. I've literally just reached inside and there's a little handwritten note that would have most likely been written by Susie. Dear Tracy, here's a copy of our debut single. There's also one in your library. We'd really appreciate bringing it to the attention of other announcers. Thanks for your help. Please feel free to contact us for further information. Thank you, the Falling Joys. And I think that really kind of goes to the heart of just how viscerally connected the radio stations and the live music scene was at that time. You're listening to 2SER, Heartland Radio. We are family. It's Radiothon time. Tracy Hutchison here with you and Dr. The Rockin' Dr. Liz Giffray.
Here I am. And isn't it nice to have that amount of care too, that I think, you know, we feel with you when you subscribe, when you donate, when you support us in any way that you can. We know that things are tough at the moment, so any support is good support. Tell your friends, tell your lovers, tell anybody that will listen that we're here and we're fighting the good fight. But isn't it nice too to have that feeling of connection with artistry and with place? So we really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Yeah, and I think community radio has done that for decades, and you know, we're not government funded. I think it's important to sort of, you know, remind folk why the subscription, the Radiothon every year, is a really important part of annual budgets for community radio stations. And, you know, in a big city like Sydney, obviously there's a few to choose from. But, you know, this one of the originals and the best. And, you know, Heartland Radio, this is really, you know, Sydney's very own 2SER, and it is just wonderful to be back. And we're talking about, I guess, that ongoing connection to providing opportunities for people to come in and begin their careers or have long involvement with community media, and also the connection to independent media more broadly. And we started the show, Liz, with a conversation about, you know, you could literally sort of pick up the street press, see who was playing, hear them on the radio and go out and see, you know, half a dozen bands a night. And I really wanted to, when I was thinking about, you know, putting this show together and thinking about the sorts of things I was keen to talk about, I was really keen to talk about the powerhouse that was on the street and drum media, which was the independent street press at the time. And in particular, wanted to really pump up and acknowledge the contribution of the editor and publisher of On the Street and then Drum Media, a woman called Margaret Cott, who commissioned my first work in On the Street, in the street press, when I was here at SER. And I think if the phone gods are kind of working for us, I'm really hoping that she's on the line. Margaret, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Tracy. How are you going?
So great to hear your voice. And also just, you know, to be reminded, I'm here with my SER colleague, Liz Giffre, Dr. Liz Giffre. Yeah. And I really wanted to, just sort of bumping the mic here a bit, but I just wondered, Margaret, you know, I think when we were taking our place, you know, you as the publisher and editor of On the Street and then Drum Media, and those of us that were kind of forging our careers in community radio and other media outlets at the time, I don't think any of us really sort of thought, oh, gee, this is unusual. There's sort of women everywhere. There's women on the radio. There's women on stage. There's you know, you as this powerhouse editor and publisher at On the Street and the Drum. I'm really interested how much you thought about that at the time and how much you've reflected on that, I guess, in recent years about just how phenomenal it really was.
Yeah, okay. Well, it all sounds so grand when you say it like that, of course. But the reality was, of course, that we were knee-deep in, you know, in work and involvements that you sort of didn't have much time to, you know, turn yourself around and go, wow, what a great job. You'd just be on to the next thing. Or the next deadline in my case. And no, I think that possibly with where we stood back then was such a vibrant happening scene that and women were particularly good at working in media because there were sort of, I don't know, glass ceilings pretty much everywhere else. And with media, with communication, it just seemed to be like a natural road, progression to sort of, so that you could, you know, you could start with a small piece of copy, hand it over, and you could end up with your own column. But that was a different era in that, you know, publishing itself now is becoming a thing of the past. So, I think we understood that we were doing a job, but did we think that we were doing anything that was groundbreaking? I don't think so.
Margaret,
I'm glad we all survived too.
Margaret, would you mind, it's Liz here, would you mind if I asked you a question, because I'm, you know, long-time listener, first-time caller. When it comes, I was one of those people that just adored Drum, and when I found out that Drum was founded by a woman, oh, my goodness, because I think, again, it's one of those things that, you know, we're not going to make it just quite the gender 2 hours here, but it's one of those things that perhaps not we're not so great at promoting ourselves as perhaps perhaps we should. But I've got the very first issue of Drum Media in front of me. If you don't mind me going back a little way, I might have paid someone on eBay a little bit too much for it. Sorry to my husband who's listening at home. Sorry about that. But what the very first line here says, if I can take you back, is it says, everything from this point in time is focused on the future. And I just wanted to, you know, talk to you a little bit about that. I mean, you're talking about these rolling deadlines, you know, you're producing 50 page newspapers a week, you know, on what looks like a very dedicated, but very skeleton staff. Mm. How can you have your eyes out on the horizon, looking out to what could be when you've got such a crunch in front of you? Was it just, was it Siggy's? What was driving you? How were you all being pushed so, propelled so far into the future?
Yeah, I guess, look, it was, we were definitely deadline driven, it was like a snowball rolling down a hill, I guess. You know, you just had to keep up and did we retrospectively think about very much? Probably not. I think the future was always our greatest our vision, and possibly was to take as many people as we could with us. Mm. And I think that, you know, we supporting the venues and the bands and that whole live music scene in Sydney, and it was really vibrant. I mean, it was really happening. We had hundreds of gigs on during the week, hundreds, and really big quality bands and small underground things that were, you know, events. And I guess that when you look at, say, the skeleton staff, they were just enthusiastic. And if enthusiasm means anything, I think you can do stuff. I think it was enthusiasm.
You were also, you know, to Liz's question, I guess, you know, one eye on the deadline immediately in front of you and one eye on the road ahead, Margaret Cott. You were also very mindful, I think, of really championing, really sort of identifying a cohort of writers, of photographers, and bands as well that you were keen to champion. When you think about, you know, some of that sort of the milieu, that very sort of heady milieu, both the bands and the venues, but what are sort of some of the standouts for you from that time, do you think, you know, that you sort of feel like, yeah, we put them on the cover and that was the moment that was their breakthrough moment?
Well, if it was sort of, you know, early on the street, sort of that 1984 to 1990, you know, there were bands like that we would have to take credit for, like Doremi and the Triffids, the Warumpi Band, even to a degree. I mean, I know 2SER were totally involved right across. You know, we worked really hand in hand with other independent media, because that was the only way everyone could get it done. You know, the Celibate Rifles back then, you know, even the Huda Gurus, Roger Gold loved us, we loved him. It was just a regular bloody trade union club, you know, get together on a Friday night. And, you know, the Lime Spiders, Rat Cats, you know, it just went on, and the Divinals, you know, and they used to play at the bloody Piccadilly, and that was just a little hotel up there in the Cross. So it was very, you know, and then probably later for the drum. There were quite a few sort of bands, you know, bands like Powderfinger. I mean, to the point where people would say, you know, you've got to stop putting them on the cover, or even the Cruel Sea. You know, that was the complaint there with the Cruel Sea, but we just kept it up. And finally, there was an aria that was made and lost. I mean, not lost, but just misplaced.
Put online somewhere at some point, wasn't it, I believe?
Yeah. But But also, you know, the other victory, if I'm going to take any victories here, would have to be that I did have a band of real support around me, you know, and it certainly wasn't a one woman show by any means, and we were doing, by the time we sold the drum in 2006, we were a 94 page paper, which is as big as the Sydney Morning Herald is now, and you know, and we're still doing it on 12 members of staff, you know, so. And that included the delivery guys.
Amazing. Margaret Cott is with us. She is the founding editor and publisher of The Drum, and prior to that, the editor and publisher of On the Street, the Bible of Sydney's music and arts community during that time, the 80s and 90s, as you mentioned there, Margaret. I can almost still hear, you know, the phone calls when I'd sort of do a review for somebody and I didn't get published, and or you'd commission me to do an interview with somebody, and you got Richard Kingsmill and I to do a kind of a double page spread of you know, Australian Music of the Year and things like that when we were both here at 2SER, and you know, I've also kept those things over the years as well. So you know, you were certainly responsible for shaping and starting the careers of not only artists, photographers we've mentioned, Francine McDougall, Wendy McDougall, Tony Mott, you know, all of those people who were taking photographs. Liz is busting to ask another question, but I do want to say that, you know, this is 2SER, it's Radiothon. It's a very special kind of We Are Family, a family reunion kind of Radiothon theme this year, which is why I've got the call up to come back after a very long time, almost 40 years since my first radio shows here at 2SER, so we really are digging deep. But 95149500 is the number if you want to give us a call while we're having a chat to Margaret. And Liz, you've got something else you wanted to have a chat about.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Margaret, about, you know, that idea of moving to the future now. Do you have any kind of, seeing how things have changed, and, you know, I was talking to some of our current interns and some of our current generation of people that are finding their feet in the media via 2SER, via that support that's being provided right now and has been provided by the Sydney community and the extended community over our history. In terms of looking to the future, do you have any advice? Do you have anything that you would like to say to somebody who's in a position that you were in once, you know, to sort of words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of warning, perhaps? You know, I see here that The Drum had as its as one of its kind of cries that we will have no formula, no favouritism, no bullshit. I mean, is that what we need? What can we learn from you?
Okay. Well, if you want to learn, probably I would say keep knocking. Really and truly, just keep knocking. I think that's the don't take no. And I know, and I'm talking about careers here. But you know, if with media tightening up like it is, and it's harder to get in on that ground level, it's harder to get the foot in the door, full stop. And also, there's really highly skilled people coming, you know, from all the communication courses. It could be a game of last man standing, you know, that people, you know, disappear in front of you and you end up with a top job. Or it could be that you just keep on knocking and you just keep on going, going to a country newspaper instead of a Sydney newspaper, you know, and or going into a different kind of media than the one that you hope for. But, I really think that, and also, I mean, there's, as I said, highly skilled, it's more social media, there's those opportunities as well that would have been very, very handy in our day, instead of relying on our stupid memories and just trying to dream up things. Mm. But things are a lot more exact now, and a lot more the accesses are easier in that, you know, all that media stuff is right there if you want it, if you want to get your foot in the door. I think that the possibilities are there. I know kids now who are doing very well in radio, and they've just done what they had to do, and they're there. So.
Margaret.
Yeah, they got on. Yeah, got on with it. Exactly.
Margaret, it is so great to hear your voice. It's so great to talk about that time. And I think you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And if your catch cry was no favoritism, no formula, no bullshit, I'm a big fan of kind of knowing where you've come from, so you know where you are and where you're going. And I certainly will never forget the support that you gave writers like me at that time, and others in our cohort, and championing those bands. And today, talking about social media, I saw a post that you put up with a gorgeous photo of you and a very early photograph of the Warumpi band on their first tour out of Papunya, when they were touring that very first single, Jalanguru Pakanu, out from jail. And I looked at that photo and I thought, gee, that just looks like yesterday to me. All the time sort of melted away. But you mentioned, you know, artists like Warumpi band, and they were obviously very special to you. What's your recollection, I guess, of being fortunate enough, as I was, to see them? I saw them a lot, and they really were a band that we championed here very much at SER.
Yeah, okay. So that photo, it was a friend of mine's birthday, and I came across it, and I thought, you know what, I'm not a big Facebook person, but I thought, no, I'm going to put that up. Mm. And I think at that point, the Warumpi band had come to Sydney. They were going to do a gig at the Paddington RSL, and we met them at the airport, and it was the first time they'd pretty much been on a plane, and we had trouble getting them down the escalator. Mm-hmm. But the whole no fixed address Warumpi land rights was foremost at the heart. Mm. of early on the street, like so that was really Eleanor Boyd, who was the editor, and Ellie was her lifeblood, really. She wanted more than anything to get an equal standing for Aboriginal rights, and so that was going back, you know, early 80s. Mm. That was. And so we were absolutely thrilled to have the Warumpi band visit, and then of course they went off and toured with Midnight Oil and became it wasn't easily accessible music, because it was sort of country twang and there was a bit of reggae in it. Mm. And but we really liked it. Mm. And I hope you play it.
I'm about to. It's great to hear you. Thank you so much. All power to you.
Thank you, Margaret, for
blazing the trail. And wonderful to be reminded.
Thank you.
And thank you for reminding me. Thanks. And good luck with the subscription drive too.
Yes, that's right. That's what we need. Margaret Cosh, founder and editor, founding publisher and editor of The Drum, and prior to that the publisher of On the Street with Eleanor Boyd, as she mentioned, as editor, really kind of halcyon time. I do feel like, you know, we're bridging lots of gaps here. We're sort of, you know, and generations, and Warumpi are important because without Warumpi and without No Fixed, and without bands like Scrap Metal and Coloured Stone, we wouldn't have had Yothu Yindi come bursting out of Yirrkala, even though obviously at very different ends of the country. But, you know, they were the artists that broke down the doors. Mm-hmm. And
And I remember too, Tracy, you were telling me about your time when you were on air here doing the Australian Independent Music Show, about how you were given an education as well in by some of the other producers here and presenters here. Would you like to talk a little bit about that and mentioning names of people that have passed?
I'm sure. With a kind of acknowledgement that I am going to talk about someone who has passed. But, yeah, I was doing the Australian Music Show, an independent music show, on a Tuesday night. Tuesday nights at midnight we used to start, and then we got moved into the big time. We went to air at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night. But we would follow the Black Music Show by the late mighty Tiger Bales, who just a powerhouse of community radio, Radio Redfern, and Cory Radio, and went to Brisbane and set up a 4AAA up there. And Tiger and his mum Maureen were just pivotal in a step, you know, the early kind of the land rights movement in terms of the media representation. And I'd also include Nicola Joseph, who was a colleague at the time at 2SER, in that cohort. But following Tiger every week, and Tiger would always finish the show the same way, 7-inch single, Coloured Stones, Black Boy. And it would be, you know, I'd lift it up off the turntable and hand it over. And it was sort of the ritual that went on every week. But I think there was a strong, quiet wisdom in the way Tiger went about things, and it was certainly a great privilege to spend time, you know, in the same studio with him and follow him every week, and those learnings I just think became embedded in the view I had about what community radio was really about in terms of access and voice and independence. And certainly, as Margaret mentioned, the land rights movement, late 70s and early 80s in Sydney, was certainly just a phenomenal time. Music and politics, you know, and really, you know, that kind of idea that, you know, music could in fact change the world. So let's hear the Warumpi Band and a song that came out of Papunya in the early 80s and really kind of paved the way for so many First Nations and other artists who've come after them. But this one, I hope. A little bit of desert rock. Jalinguru Pakaonu, out from jail on SER. That thing, you know, when you find your sort of happy, comfortable place, that it kind of just becomes your go-to place, doesn't it? And I'm just an 80s kid.
It's so nice. But, you know, we're welcoming you back home, Tracy. We're welcoming you back home to 2SER. Tracy Hutchison, we're talking to here for Radiothon. We're happy to be back. We're also letting you know that you can win lots of prizes if you subscribe to us.
Might just do the back announce.
Yeah, you could do that. First, look at me. I've just gone straight for the money. Sorry, friends. Heavens. Okay.
Back announce.
I'm going to go to the professor now. She knows what she's doing. Oh.
It's Radio 101.
Yes.
It is 2SER. It is Radiothon time. Liz is right, 9514 9500 if you feel so inclined. But, you know, talking about formative artists and incredibly important artists who continue to be so influential, started his career in Brisbane with the Saints, producing the world's first punk single, I'm Stranded, and then moves into a solo career with the Laughing Clowns. And that song, a 12-inch single that came out on the Hot Record label in the early 80s, but just was almost like the soundtrack for a period of time. Eternally Yours, the song, The Laughing Clowns, Ed Cooper I'm talking about. But an artist that really, because of community radio, the support of stations like 4ZZZ in Brisbane, their hometown, Melbourne, of course, Triple R and PBS, and here in Sydney, SER, you know, very much being at the centre of that, and the maverick, more independent version of the Jays at that time. But really, you know, just supporting Australian music, championing Australian music. And Ed Cooper, of course, continues to be doing incredible things. But, you know, he, you know, speaks to that time. You know, I mean, without, you know, a lot of artists would speak to that time and their formative careers when it was really only community radio that was supporting them. You know, I've still got memories of seeing Paul Kelly at the Strawberry Hill Hotel in a residency on a Sunday night. And nobody there, you know, a handful of people, you know, early, mid-80s, and it was really only community radio supporting the Post record and Paul's kind of solo career in Sydney. So, you know, it is that thing that you sort of think without community radio, without that sort of cultural lifeblood that community radio actually provides, the artists and those of us that have sailed along with them over that time would really be at a loss. So always great to hear Eternally Yours. We are Eternally Yours here at 2SER, of course, for Radiothon. And before that, the Mighty Warumpi Band, who, again, also just trailblazers for others, First Nations artists that came after them. But their debut single, Jalinguru Pakanu, out from jail, the song Straight Out of Papunya. SER is where you are. It's Radiothon. Tracy Hutchison here. Dr. Liz.
Here I am.
Can you give me the correct, because I know I'm not doing the surname properly. I know every time
it's Giuffre.
Giuffre.
Yeah, right. But that's all right. And you can drop the doctor. I'm not a, I'm a pop doctor, for those of you that are wondering.
Yeah, she's the rocker doctor, the coolest doctor of all.
Who is this strange person that's doing her best and fangirling out a little bit? I teach
she is the
music
and doctor.
Sound design over at UTS, one of the proud supporters of 2SER for its entire journey. So we do thank them like we thank you. Those of you that give what you can, have given what you could over our time together, yeah. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And it is about knowing where we've been, but also where we're going, which is why we're going to introduce to the mic the mighty Beth Tracy, who has knocked it out of the park for her drive show this afternoon, complete with random tarot readings, which I don't think I've heard that done quite so stylishly, I have to say, Beth.
I try.
Hey, you are just knocking out of the park. Can you take us through, you know, I guess the reason, you know, that community radio has sort of been such a powerful thing for you, and why every year you kind of, you know, do the sort of the, you know, the plugs for Radiothon, mm-hmm. but it's more than that, you know, it's actually about, you know, this incredible connection to community.
Most definitely. Look, I've been at 2SER for about 4.5 years now. So when I was fresh 19, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I walked through these studio halls and I was like, I've found my tribe. I found my people. Look, the list goes on and the reasons as to why I love 2SER so much, but community radio is really, I love the grassroots aspect of it. I love the fact that the people that are talking on the radio station and the people that are playing on the radio station are the people that run it and that are from the community that surrounds it. Mm. There are so many amazing artists that I have found because of 2SER, and music has always been one of my most passionate hobbies. So I do really appreciate that aspect of 2SER, and I get to speak to those people as well and sometimes give them a leg up and give them their first radio play and give them a real meaningful interview that actually asks them more than about what, you know, their lyrics mean, you know what I mean? So that's what
I'm what's wrong
it.
With what the lyrics
No, but like, I mean, like from, I guess, like the process of like, yeah, you no, know, yeah. just like, you know, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. But, yeah.
But this is the wonderful thing too, that that you're doing too now, Beth, and I guess the difference between the experience that you've got now as opposed to the landscape and the role that Tracy played when she was in your position is now bands, anybody can be in a band and put it out to the world.
Exactly.
But how does the world find it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Nobody starts at Google and just puts in A and listens to every piece of music that's on there or goes to a streaming service or whatever. You know, artists, as they're growing, audiences, as we're finding what we like, we still need curation.
Exactly.
We need somebody's expertise. We need your energy, like Margaret was telling us before, just to get in and really love it and feel it.
Definitely.
And want to tell our friends about it. So here at 2SER, of course, we are passionate. We are very keen to let you know what we love.
Exactly.
And that's, and we, it's our joy to share it with you. And, you
most
know,
definitely.
We're very lucky to have you to do that for us. Thank you.
Of course.
Run us through the prizes, Beth.
Yeah, of course. So, okay. So everybody that signs up to be a subscriber, whether that be if you ring in on 95149500 or you go to our website, 2SER.com, you get a chance to go into the draw for one of these major prizes. One of which is a Southern Cross mountain bike from Bicycles Plus in Campbelltown. Another one that's been quite popular, I believe, is the carton of your favourite beer every month delivered to you for a year. And a brewery tour for 13 people from Young Henry's. So Young
Lucky
Henry's.
13. Lucky 13
yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly. Young Henry's is also like a long-standing institution for craft beer. And my partner, he's a brewer. So he's very excited about that. I think he signed up during my show. That's so amazing. He was like, I'm going to go for that one.
I mean,
one.
It might be for you. It might be for the beer. Who knows? And you know what? Look, anybody's money spends just the same. We'll take
I think it was a
much.
Mix of both. Probably
right.
the beer more
That's
so.
Right.
And we've also got some reconditioned, reconditioned vintage turntable and record voucher from Egg Records in Newtown. We have two different turntables up for grabs. The other one is a turntable from Audio Technica. That one comes with two different vouchers for records, one from Repressed Records and the other from Vintage Records, which is like amazing. And then if you want to get a kickstart, if you've been listening in, one thing that I really liked to talk about today specifically on Drive was the fact that, you know, 2SER, as we talk about, as we've said multiple times, it's volunteer-based. If you have a passion for music, if you have a passion for stories, for ideas that don't necessarily get a platform to be spoken about, 2SER is a place that allows you to do that. So you can actually become a volunteer here and join up, help us out and become a part of the team. And if podcasting is something that you're interested in, we also have a, where is it? We've
oh, I know
got
the one
a,
you mean.
Yeah,
it's
a Rode MT NT1 AI kit, which is a complete studio recording bundle, so you can get
that
a,
is a good
kickstart
prize.
On it. How good is that?
That is a good prize.
For sure.
I want that prize.
And there's heaps of others too, but I won't. There's like an endless amount, so for sure.
Can I subscribe and get that one?
Ooh, yeah,
I think
definitely.
There would be some kind of crazy conflict of interest.
We're
now.
Getting double passes to the November season of Unwrapped at the Sydney Opera House. There's NeuroBlue wireless earbuds. There's Neurophone over here headphones. What I'm loving about this too, this tangible music stuff.
Yes.
Is we're at hard times at the moment, and I'm looking with Professor Tracy here, who's brought in her lovely vinyl that she's held on to for so long on a plane, brought to us. You too could get something from this little experience that you can hang on to and then bring to show. The next
no,
lot.
In yeah,
decades
I put it in
time.
The overhead locker. Oh, I did all of that. I lugged
brave.
It.
That's
I,
made,
I weighed it to make sure that I wasn't going to be
on a kitchen scale or bathroom scale.
I weighed it when I got to the airport. So oh. I am not leaving behind my 7-inch vinyl anywhere. So I needed to make sure. SER is where you are. 95149500 is the number. You can also subscribe to us via the interweb at www.2ser.com. There are a range of different ways that you can contribute. Any old, you know, any kind of contribution we'd be really grateful for. You know, we've talked a lot about the role of community radio and, you know, lifeblood of this town over many, many decades. So, you know, there are many levels, and if what you can afford is a fiver, we'd be very happy with a fiver. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go for the super sub, and I know you had one of super sub.
I did, $300.
Oh my God, that's just so generous.
Must have really wanted that tarot reading.
I want to thank. I might get one of those later. I really want to say thank you to a couple of people who I recognise, and I'm really thrilled that you're listening. So I want to thank Peter in Annandale, who's come on board as a passionate subscriber. Thanks so much, Pete. It's really great to hear from you. And also my old friend Sharon in Stanmore has subscribed and says a little g'day. I mentioned earlier in the program that I feel like I'm you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, representing a cohort of people who really shaped my career. Some of the architects of community radio, certainly in terms of in Sydney at 2SER at that time. But I do want to kind of just, we are going to speak to one of these people in the second hour. We're already in the second hour. It's 7:05 in case you want to be doing something else. But I want to say a shout out to some people who really, you know, really kind of wrote the book in terms of 2SER and shaping community radio in Sydney. So Sharon Davis, thank you for that subscription. And our cohort was incredible at that time. And when I read out these names, you know, Amanda Collins, the late Jill Emberson, Monica Adhard, now Professor Mon, and we'll be talking to the professor, the real professor, in a little while, Michelle Brown, Susan Atkinson, Virginia Madsen, Ian Coombe, Jeff Parrish, Peter McAvoy, the list goes on. Incredible cohort. And me, for this wide-eyed kid who kind of landed in amongst these extraordinary practitioners at that time, taught me everything, and I owe a great deal to those people. And also, you know, people who were specialising in music shows at that time, Leah Haynes, who was doing a show called Local and or General, and a fella called Richard Kingsmill, who went on to have a pretty big career.
He did something somewhere else.
As well. But, you know, just that's just one little microcosm, one little snapshot of the role that SER has played in being just a champion of independent music, but an independent editorial voice.
That's,
you know,
right.
Razor's Edge, the show that most of those people I name-checked were involved
with.
And
is back now too. We have wonderful Anne-Marie, who was in this slot a couple of nights ago and is now teaching the next generation over the road as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the wonderful thing that we have too, is that we've had so many people who've come through the doors in lots of different ways, and also you who've just been listening. If you've been listening for all this time, and this is something that we love to hear, is to know that we've been able to help you in some way, to provide a soundtrack, to provide a guide, to provide news and insight, to provide a little moment where, you know, your little corner of the world is given attention in a way that it might not have been otherwise. We really appreciate you, and we really appreciate the blood, sweat and tears that has gone into your support over all this time.
And a shout out to Shannon in North Richmond. I'm imagining North Richmond, Sydney's North Richmond.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. Ooh. Or a long distance caller. A long-distance caller. Veronica is the queen. She is out there rounding up our phone vols, who are doing a mighty job. And it is wonderful to have these subscriptions coming through. Thank you so much for supporting community radio in Sydney. Heartland Radio, community radio, and it's great to be back home, I have to say. I am going to drag us into the present, almost. I sort of thought I should. This is someone who has also sort of recently kind of migrated to Sydney. He's a dear friend and has also been a great supporter of community radio over the years. And his name is Dan Sultan. And this is his track, Magnetic, on SER. Wouldn't have had the career they had without the support in their early years of 2SER. Tall Tales and True, the name of the band, and their breakthrough single, a song from them called Trust from their album Shiver. SER is where you are. We are family, and we are talking Radiothon 2022 with the Doctor of Rock, and I believe you're about to introduce the Professor.
Yeah, on the line. Who did caller? Are you there?
Caller, hello, are you there? How's that for a little bit of professionalism? Professor Monica Attar joins us, 2SER alumni, and now, of course, part of the delivery of the journalism degree and postgrad here at
Centre for Media Transition University of Technology, Sydney. Hi, how are you?
Hi there, both of you. How are you? Sounding good, girls.
Good. Thank you very much, Mum. That was very...
I had an excellent teacher. I think that's what's happened here.
Monica Attard is with us. Mon, we are sort of celebrating family and family reunion. These shows have been really, really sweet to, I guess, that idea that, you know, we've got one eye on the road ahead and another one on the rearview mirror. And it's great to sort of be reminded, I think, of just the mighty contribution of SER. And also, you know, for you, you'd be able to sort of talk to us both through the lens of sort of starting the journalistic career here, but now in the academic role, just the importance of those academic partners, the education partners, the University of Technology and Macquarie University, and why, you know, having that partnership with SER is so important in terms of the broader role of education. You know, how do you see that, you know, those two things marrying together?
Oh, well, I can talk about the second one till the cows come home, but I have, the journalist in me has to correct you on the first one. I'm actually not 2SER alumni. My work at 2SER has actually been in the last couple of years, well, four or so years since I've actually been at UTS. So I often do Fourth Estate for 2SER, so it's a more recent association actually, but of course all of my friends went through 2SER, and some of my very closest friends and some people who I really, really, really admire, Jill Emberson, who was who I actually went to school with and who was one of my closest buddies, and I'm sure, as you've already noted, sadly passed away a few years ago, but Jill. You know, Jill's time at 2SER, I remember extremely well and hearing all about it, you know, on a constant basis. And there was Amanda Collins, who I heard you talk about earlier as well, and Pete McAvoy, who's a dear friend. So there's the most wonderful journalists have come out of 2SER. It has been an absolutely extraordinary breeding ground for good public interest journalism. And, you know, that's really, really hard to beat that. And in terms of its contribution to education now, it's quite extraordinary, and may it continue. It's been a place where, certainly at UTS, we encourage all of the journalism students to do at least one twirl around the rodeo, because it's a great training ground. It's where you get hands-on experience, where you work with dedicated journalists who are really committed to the mission and committed to public interest journalism. And, you know, there's nothing like hands-on learning. There's just absolutely nothing like it. And the joy of students who get to work on programs and then hear them go to air and hear their own accomplishments in whichever capacity, whether that's producing or presenting or researching, is an immense contribution, I think, to the journalistic landscape.
We're very lucky. We're so lucky that we've got you to support us in that way, Monica. Do you find, and forgive us, I hadn't realised, I thought that Beth was the baby here, but, you know, you're the baby 2SERian here. Is that what we call ourselves, 2SERians? We'll take it. In terms of then that contribution, that place that community radio occupies, I've got a book in front of me that you very kindly did the forward to, where we did the history of the station so far, the incomplete history, where you talked about 2SER as the naughty kid of Sydney radio. That kind of idea of being naughty insofar as not playing by the rules or, you know, chasing things that perhaps might not obviously seem to have an immediate payoff or might not obviously be clickbait or might not obviously be part of an agenda. How important do you think that is in terms of, you know, the longer game of journalism and the contribution that can be made to the broader conversation?
Look, I mean, I think all you really need to do is look at the journos who went through there, who went on to mainstream journalism, and the sort of journalism that they did. It was kind of quite often maverick-style journalism, where they weren't afraid to confront power, where they weren't afraid to, to question the status quo. And I think that is a kind of culture that was bred at 2SER in those early days for them. Mm. And I'm hoping that it still exists. In fact, I'm pretty sure that it does, because I listen to 2SER quite often and I hear it. I mean, it's journalism that's not afraid. And that's really, really important, because as you just said, Liz, I mean, you know, these days, journalism has become, in many senses, kind of corporatized, and I think that to have a culture bred into young people that is one that says, you know, don't be afraid to question, that is your role as a journalist is to question, is really, really important. And also to teach them that, you know, they just don't go along with what's being said to you. It doesn't matter who it's by, whether it's by the government, whether it's by a university, yes, whether it's by an advocacy group, it's important to question and to keep questioning. And that's what journalism is about, is asking the next question. I often say to my journalism students that, you know, journalism isn't what's already in the newspapers or being broadcast on, you know, on air anywhere. It's the next question that you ask. That's the journalism. And I think 2SER is really, really good at training the young people who come through its doors in how to do that in a respectful way, but in a way that doesn't pull any punches.
Professor Monica Attard is with us. 2SER is where you are. It's Radiothon time. Tracy Hutchison and Dr. Liz Dufresne is with us. We're, I guess, you know, doing that thing that you do every Radiothon, Mon, is, you know, remind people of the importance of the editorial independence, the maverick nature as well of community radio, the fearlessness of, yes, of that sort of journalism, which is quite scarce, even at the national broadcaster. You know, it can struggle sometimes to get the kind of cut through because of the other kind of political machinations that sometimes operate in that sphere. In terms of, you know, the way in which that sort of maverick identity kind of makes itself known in places like SER, there's The Wire, of course, which is the national current affairs program. But what sorts of things do you think SER and community radio in particular can do that other outlets really can't do?
Well, they can bring a fearlessness because the stakes are lower, in a sense. You know, the audience is very different, the breadth of the audience is very different as well. And so, you know, that there's a freedom that comes with that. The pressures that come in mainstream media are vastly different, and they're all around notions of accountability to audience and to power in many senses as well, even though its role is very much to question power. But there's a whole framework of accountability that is imposed in mainstream media that I think is less prevalent in community radio, where you can just pick you can pick stories or issues that are not necessarily going to be particularly mainstream or even particularly interesting to a much, much broader audience, but they might be interesting to one particular community, and they're very important to air, and that's the freedom of being able to do that is astounding, actually, and it's very empowering for those communities that are the subject of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, isn't it, Monica, that we're so lucky. I guess this is, well, of course, we are here to ask you for your ongoing and continued support. We acknowledge that that's how we're able to do what we do, is that we're not beholden to a particular one mogul or one outlet, or even when we talk about a national broadcaster, a board or a chair or whatever, we are speaking, yes, to you and for you, the community, and we very much appreciate you in all of your depth and your breadth. It's fantastic, and it was very nice to hear not just from you but also your memories about people like Jill, you know, and the contributions that they continued to make and the way they came back to us. You know, I like to think that here we are with Radiothon being family. What struck me so much, you know, putting together the history of the station, which I did with Dom Romeo and with Jess Clackman back in the day, and which you thankfully supported us with as well, was how well people thought of at that time. They came back. It wasn't as if it was a launching pad that people launched off and never thought of again. There was always that kind of sense of home, of people being able to come home to us whenever they wanted to. And, you know, we extend that now, and we thank you so much for helping to continue to keep that home. We really appreciate it.
Oh, well, look, I'm chuffed that you invited me on, and I'm especially chuffed that I get to contribute now in my older years to what 2SER does, because I really enjoy working there, and I love doing Fourth Estate, and I love working with Anthony Dockrell, and, you know, there's some fabulous people there who just do incredible work and who are really, really good thinkers. That's what's important. I mean, I'm astounded sometimes in some of the conversations I have with, you know, Anthony, some of the other producers even on Fourth Estate, that's kind of their willingness to have really very, very long, deep conversations about some of the bigger issues in media. And it's just really refreshing. They've got, you know, that they've got the ability to do that, and that they're not afraid to air ideas that are, you know, perhaps not airable on other platforms.
Monica, Professor Monica, I will always call you Mon.
Tracy, I'd be disappointed. point that if we're anything, you know, Tracy, look, of course, people might not know that Tracy and I actually kind of worked adjacent to each other in a job just before I came to UTS, didn't we, Tracy?
Correct, and we did. It was quite a learning experience.
It was quite the experience for both of us.
Yes, it was. I prefer to think about our time at the National Broadcaster in some of our more formative years after I had moved across from 2SER and was at the very maverick iteration of the Jays at that time.
And I was at the same time.
Indeed, yeah. And so we all find our way back, all roads lead back to SER. Thank you so much. Always great to chat. Always great to talk about the fearlessness and the ability of community radio to really hold truth to power and do it with the best of intent. Great to catch up.
You both have fun. Love you both.
Thank you.
See you, Mon. Professor Monica Attard joining us here on 2SER. It is Radiothon. We're kind of in the countdown now, Liz. We've got just half an hour to go. If folk are sort of sitting back, kind of thinking, have we done enough? You know, we've been going for 2 weeks of Radiothon. I know most of you have kind of already committed, but there might just be, a few people who are sitting back going,
If you're on the fence, whatever you can give us, we'll happily take. Thank you very much. Donations tax deductible, I think that's right. Also, I'm happy to chuck in a couple of those books we were talking about. If anybody hasn't got across it, if anybody wants to have a go in the last half hour, that history of 2SER, 2SER's 46 boxes of stuff, an incomplete history of community radio featuring people like Monica, featuring Tracy, featuring a whole range of amazing previous 2SERians. We'll chuck one of those in for you as well if you're going to subscribe in this last half an hour. So however you'd like to do it, we'll happily take
receive
it on board.
9514 9500 if you're with us here on 107.3 here in Sydney, here on Gadigal land, the mighty Eora Nation. You might be streaming, as I know some of my friends are, from Melbourne, from south of the border. 2SER.com. It's great to know that you're travelling with us. And also great to be reminded, Liz, of the ability to break the rules and play and say things that perhaps wouldn't get a Guernsey anywhere else. This is not a one that requires a language warning, so there's no need to rush to the thing, not the wildest thing, and turn it down or
I'll
do
send
whatever,
the babies
whatever you
to bed.
Need to do.
Yep.
Never done a language warning in my life and probably was a bad program director when I had to try and, enforce things like that. But I'm sort of wheeling my way to being able to play a song that is over 9 minutes long and it's worth it. It's okay. But when this particular song came out, there was a declaration in that year. And, I'm kind of straddling kind of decades. I'm kind of going from the 80s to the 2020s. I'm sort of like missing the kind of ones in between, which is kind of probably how I see the world. But when this particular song was released, there was a declaration that year from the New Musical Express that this would be the year of the Triffids. And it was this song that they wrote in London at the time. As I reach over in good community radio fashion.
Creaky chair and all, it's delightful.
Playing off the compact disc, not the vinyl. The pristine sounds of the Triffids. And this, my friends, is the Field of Glass on 2SER.
I walk a field of glass under the sun of steel. facing all odds for you. I've got a winning team.
He's got a winning team.
I've got a winning.
Daddy. He don't understand your brothers. They don't understand brothers. They don't understand your daughter. He don't. Lost his little nest egg, he's lost his little acorn, lost his little sweet tooth, rosebud, sugar, and sugar pie, and he got sugar, and sugar pie, pigtails, button nose, freckles, button teeth, freckles, sugar pie, and he got sugar pie, and he got sugar pie. I walk a field of grass, I buy a diamond ring, I take a lonesome road, buy you anything,
buy you anything,
I buy you anything,
buy you anything,
I buy you anything,
buy you anything,
buy you anything,
buy you anything.
If you would ride with me, come ride with me, come ride, come ride, yeah, come ride with me. Come ride, come around. Yeah, come ride, come around.
Still I find there's nothing I can do.
would swim around with you. Would swim around with you. Would swim around with you.
Australian independent triple play here on SER, and what a glorious, glorious golden sound those three songs represent. The Hummingbirds, the Mighty Hummingbirds, a single out on the Phantom record label, and the tune from them, penned by the late Simon Holmes and featuring the backing vocals of the glorious Alana Russick, who is still performing and has new records. And Lanny Sorry I'm not playing anything new, but just reliving some of those beautiful kind of halcyon sounds, the golden sounds of Sydney, the Hummingbirds, Alimony, the name of the song, Phantom Records. Before that, the magnificent Lewis Tillett and his record, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell, and a version of that song that came out on the album on the Citadel label, but a version of a song that was originally released as a single in the early sort of mid-ish 80s that Lewis recorded with Brett Myers and the now late Damien Lovelock, Brett Myers of The Died Pretty, and Louis and Damo and Brett recorded that song, Swimming in the Mirror, and that version appears on the album released on the Citadel record label around about 1987. And the Triffids, Field of Glass, the track from them, all 9 minutes and 9 seconds of it from 1985 on the Hot record label, and the year that the New Musical Express declared was the year of the Triffids. And in fact, I interviewed David McComb about the writing of that song, and he talked about being in London and feeling so displaced. And the thing about his writing was that it was such a visceral sort of Australian sound of longing and dislocation and isolation. And he talked very specifically about wanting to write an angry song because they were doing it tough in London, and you know they really sort of wanted to kind of make a commentary of their experience while everyone was sort of high-fiving them and putting them on the cover of the NME. It was tough. It was tough for a lot of those bands that went across in the 80s, and the Triffids. It sort of followed the Moodus and the Clowns and the Birthday Party and Nick, of course. I can't believe I've got through a show without playing Nick Cave, but there you are. But the Field of Glass, 9 minutes, and where else would you have the opportunity to play that version at that glorious length than here on 2SER and Community Radio, Heartland Radio, Liz Dufresne.
Indeed we are. Indeed
Radiothon
we are.
Radiothon time.
We are Radiothon. We're closing off towards the end of Radiothon, and we want to thank you so much for everything you've contributed. We really appreciate everything that you've been able to contribute to us, listening to us, giving us love. We're feeling more love. We have love from Helen in Epping.
Helen in Epping. Thank you. Subscribing for Liz and Trace.
Yeah, Helen, good on you. We love you. We love you so much. And we also want to...
The Doctor and the Rookie.
Indeed. Well, either way, we'll take it. We'll take it. I'm not going to say which one I am and which one you are.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen. We also just want to acknowledge very much that Radiothon has been happening for almost 2 weeks now, and thank you so much for you to listen, but also a little shout out to those that have contributed to these special series. We've had people like Lo Carmen and Sam Warrid, Robbie Buck has come back, so many of the family come home, Jodie Phyllis, The Clouds, Jess Scully, who is now, you know, the very high up in the city of Sydney, Elise Bacata, Blackie Black, Nino Yama, Willie Rosso, Anne-Marie Reyes, who, of course, still has her home here, is back here at home here. Helen Wolverton, Bruno, of course, Tracy and I are here. Tomorrow night, DJ Soups is going to be closing the party until 10 p.m, so there is still a little bit of Radiothon left to go. Following us, of course, after this evening is Burko and Static, second part of their 30th anniversary specials. Proud supporters of independent music here at 2SER. For 30 years, we are so very, very lucky to have them and their passion. Thank you
Amazing.
So much. Thank you. But before we finish off, as we round everything up, and we're not quite finished.
10 minutes. I'm just going to jump in because you mentioned Jodie Phyllis. Please.
Oh, yes.
And... you know, Jode, of course, had an Jodie, incredible time with the band, with the Clouds, of course, with Trish Young, and you know, for a while there, it was, you know, the double play was the Falling Joys and the Clouds, the Joys and the Clouds, and they would alternate as to who would take the headline gig, and they were absolutely tight, and sort of through that late 80s and early 90s. Period, you know, were very much kind of, you know, the defining sound of Sydney kind of pop rock in lots of ways, the Joys and the Clouds. And Jode has continued on writing her own stuff, and it's fantastic to see that she's come back to 2SER, which again is just that reminder that for artists, you know, these are the places. They don't forget, you know, they don't forget that this is where it started, and without community radio, you know, their careers would look very different. And you know, it's been fantastic to sort of relive, you know, I feel I've sort of indulged my 80s record collection here, but hopefully with context, you know, that it's that it is about sort of knowing where you've come from and knowing where you're going and certainly sort of playing the joys in tonight's program and sort of with a nod to sort of the work that Jody continues to do and Alana Russick, of course, with the Hummingbirds still releasing new music. And it really is, you know, without community radio, you know, it would be very difficult. And I know there are multiple platforms and there's streaming and there's every other way that you can have your music delivered, but there really is no replacement for the reach and the immediacy and the connection of radio.
That's,
you know,
right.
It just keeps living on and we love it.
That's right. We are your family here at 2SER. We're very proud to have you part of our family. And is it time now? Tracy mentioned the records that she'd brought up. She has lovingly packed them and put them in the overhead on a flight from Melbourne to Sydney just today. As we were preparing, I, you know, very foolishly now realised that when I messaged Tracy and said, would you like me to get, you know, all your tracks ready up, thinking that I'm going to get a little bit of a digital list going out.
What are you talking about?
Tracy's
digital
like,
loading in.
I know. There's CDs. There's records here. Absolutely. I had to go and do the jump of shame in the special cupboard here at 2SER because record players are plentiful but styluses are few. And so you need to go into the special cupboard and be given special access to go and get the needle to make. I know. And it's up very high, can I just say. It's there's a little bit of, you know, of height discrimination there, but we'll talk about that another time. What I do want to ask you about, though, Tracy, is this record that I've got in front of me. For those that may know, it's kind of pink in it. It's pinky purpley in the way that it looks. It's got green writing on it. There's a lady with a beautiful, beautiful mini skirt and big kind of jangly necklace. And it's a particular song here that we're going to play. Can you tell me the story of this song, Tracy, and why it's so special to us and to you here at 2SER?
Well, you know, that song could get bumped because Beth Tracy has just walked in with a request. And I'm not sure who VGH is. Would I know? You know what? I've got that single. I have got the single.
Oh, does VGH deserve it? What's VGH offering in exchange for that?
Perkins Psycho.
Oh, Tex. I mean, Tex is also playing a lot. He was playing recently. You know, the Fat Rubber Band is playing a lot at the moment. Has Tex ever gone away? Mm. Sydney has always been Tex's home. We've always been home to Tex. What do you think? Friends? All right. What do you think?
I'm actually, you know, there is some sort of magic, kind of tarot magic going on over here, but not in a good way, because I'm trying to sometimes the preview button on the turntable works and sometimes it doesn't.
Maybe we need, I mean, again, friends, this is community radio, so if it was a little bit too schmick, you'd get suspicious, wouldn't you? You do. When we say to you that we need your money to help keep the lights on and to keep the record players running, we're not kidding. 9514 9500, if you happen to have anything lying around, we'll take it. $2, $3, whatever you've got, because we're literally falling apart. But we mean that in the nicest possible way. As the professor looks to the wheels of steel to see if they'll work, we're not sure. We might be singing soon. What's going to happen now? What do you think?
Well, I it's like, do I play it? Yeah. See, now I'm in a kind of an ethical dilemma.
Oh.
You know, do I play a song that's been requested?
Yep.
Or do I do a thing that I don't do really very often at all, quite apart from being here at 2SER, but I very rarely play a song that was written for me.
Well, see, here's the thing. I want to know, friends, how many people do you know? How many people do you listen to? Can you say a part of your extended family by virtue of being a listener to a community outlet like 2SER to say that the person that is going to be presenting you a song was the muse for that song, was the person who that song was written about? And this is the case.
I feel so much better if I felt confident I'd queued it up properly.
I mean, it may be that song, it may be another song. We're not entirely sure what song's going to happen next, friends, but the song that you may hear as the professor looks longingly at the vinyl.
Let's go with it. I mean, we've come this far.
Tell us what the song is,
I want to thank you. I want to thank a whole bunch of people who've made Radiothon possible. I want to thank our phone vols.
Yes.
Who've done an incredible job out there. Veronica the Queen.
She is the Queen, long may she reign.
And Felix, who has kept everything together.
All the lights
wheels
on.
Rolling.
Yes.
We've got a whole list of other people. I want to thank Cam, the station manager, Anthony, program manager, Don, for inviting me back, Chris, who's held the radiothon wheels on. Lockie provided me with a fantastic list of songs that had been released after the 80s, and I wrote them down and I listened to them all. I thought, yeah, they're fantastic. And then I left the list somewhere and just left with 80s vinyl. Beth Tracy, who has just knocked it out of the park tonight, and I can see why she gets so many subscribers. Thanks to everyone who has subscribed tonight. It's just been so cool being back. Helen and Sharon and VGH, and I'm sorry I'm not going to play the Beast of Bourbon for you. Shannon, Sharon, Peter and Danielle and everyone else who's been messaging as well. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's been cool to be back.
Come back anytime, Tracy Lee. Come back.
Let's see if we can... Oh, that was... Oh, okay. Here we go.
So you came back to me.
Yes. Oh, sweetheart, it wasn't only that. I'd have come back to you sooner or later. From the very first instant I saw you, I knew.
Well, if you get a good break, you'll be out of Tehachapi in 20 years and you can come back to me then. I hope they don't hang you, Precious, for that sweet neck.
Oh, baby, when I listen to the radio, I listen to Tracy Lee. Cause I know she's standing in a little dark room playing all those records for me. Baby, when I listen to the radio, I wanna call her on the telephone. You need an explanation to an inclination. I'm a love that's all alone. I listen to Tracy. Well, I listen to Tracy. I listen to Tracy. Well, I listen to Tracy. Listen to the radio, I listen to Tracy Lee. Though it was a long, long time ago, you know she always stands there for me. Baby, when I listen to the radio, I wanna call her on the telephone. You know I love her lips, I wanna kiss her hips and leave her love light all alone. I listen to Tracy. Oh, I listen to Tracy. I listen to Tracy. Well, I listen to Tracy. Listen to Tracy Lee. Cause I know she's standing in a little dark room playing all those records for me.
2SCR FM 107.3.